Hi, this is Pam Raglan, and I want to welcome you to a unique series of calls called AskPamRaglan.com. This is a unique blend of my own intuition, my deep knowledge about human behavior, and the information and measures that I've been doing since 2003 that have led me to a lot of innovative discoveries about the law of attraction and personal development. What I'm doing with clients and individuals like yourself is I'm answering your questions about not just general stuff, but what's really in your way. What's the number one biggest, deepest thing that's in your way that may otherwise take you decades or your entire lifetime to identify, but I can uncover usually for people in just a matter of minutes, so that then you can have some choices about what you want to do moving forward in your life so you can get rid of what's actually in your way. And I'll give you various options on that, including the option of thought shifting, which is what I do for people to help you clear dramatic chunks of past baggage and negativity from your life, or even quantum thought shifting, which gets rid of the whole entire thing and does a lot of other things too, like rebalancing your body and just a ton of other stuff that helps with things like addictions, ADD, eating disorders, obsessive compulsive disorder, or what some people call OCD, and on and on and on. So I want to invite you to listen in on these series of calls, and I would love to hear from you if you'd like to ask your own question. You can go to www.askpamraglan.com. That's www, and the word ask, A-S-K, and then my name, Pam Ragland, PamRaglan.com. So listen in now as I start the call, and you can be like a fly on the wall listening to me working with people, and throughout this process you'll learn a lot more about what gets in our way and what you can do about it. Thanks for joining me. Okay, this is Pam Ragland, and tonight is the AskPamRaglan.com call, and I want to thank everybody for joining me, and I will, I can't even bring up the chat for the video room yet, so hopefully I'll be able to do that soon, and everybody will get started in the video room as well. So let's see. Oh, there, give me my thing back. I have a couple people who work for me, and it seems somebody is logged into my computer, so it's making it slower here. Okay. All right. So let's see. Oh, there we go. It's going to let me start the broadcast. Let me start the chat, and then I'll sneak around it that way. Yay. Okay, good. All right, so let me kind of tell you the format of how I do this call so that you guys know. I'll start out with giving you some basic information. Some of you may have heard this from me before, but I still give it every time because there's some of you that haven't. I know some of you tried to do the homework call, and Joseph, who works for me, technical guy, we've been moving some things around to a different server, and so all of a sudden you were unable to find it. So I know that I just like to give you the basic information so that everybody kind of starts at the same. So I like to give you the basic information so that everybody starts with the same page, and we're all kind of in the same place. That way, when I answer people's questions, you know what it is that I'm talking about, because otherwise, some of it's not going to make sense. Okay. So I'll go through that, and sometimes you guys write me and say, oh, please don't do the introductory information because I've already heard it. If you've already heard it, then call back in a half an hour because that's just what I have to do because otherwise everybody else hasn't heard it and they don't know what I'm talking about. And then what I'll do is I'll go through and answer people's questions. And I have a really cool healing thing tonight that I know I'm going to be giving you that's a little bit different than what I usually do. So I'm going to be doing that, and I do that at the end. So if you can take the time to hang around until the end, then you get a special bonus. And I do that for free, of course. And in between that, often what I call my pals, I call it Pam's Pals. That's the source of my divine information that I'm tapped into. And we're all tapped into something. The only difference is whether or not we know it. And trust me, this concept is still kind of new to me. Sometimes I'll let what I call my pals talk and give you a message. And a lot of times it's interesting because I really don't ever know what they're going to say. And I understand that I've got a couple of new people that have come into what someone affectionately called my entourage that gives me all this information so that I can relay it to you in a way that makes sense. So I don't really know what they're going to say ever. I just know that they're going to say something. Sometimes I'm curious and I'll ask a question. I've asked questions about although I don't think I did it on this call, I think I did an article. I asked why Michael Jackson died and if he ever really molested kids and why the BP oil spill happened. They've talked about allergies and money and all kinds of stuff like that. So there's always kind of an interesting topic, and I never really know what it's going to be. I do that more towards the end as well. So that's kind of the scoop. That's what we're going to do tonight. So I'm going to get started. Let's see, I'm going to bring up my chat. Now, I don't moderate the chat while I'm in here. What I ask you to do is if you want to ask a question, because I have so many, so just in order to be fair to everybody, if you go to askpamraglan.com, and you can ask your question through there, and then I do receive those questions, and then I take the questions that are the most, whatever, it's just what appeals to me. It might be the most representative of a lot of questions I'm getting. It might be a question that appeals to me that I know I'm supposed to answer. It just kind of goes like that. If you don't get your question answered, and just I'll tell you right now, not everybody's going to get their question answered because I probably had 300 questions at least that came in the last hour, and they've been sort of coming in, you know, throughout the day since I announced I was going to do this call. So I won't be able to get to all of those tonight, but I'll get to the ones that I can get to. And for everybody, what I want you to know is that this process that I'm going through, that I'm going to demonstrate for you tonight with the questions, when I talk about helping you, I actually don't need to go through this process of helping you understand what the issue is and what's in your way. I really do it for you so that you can get some insight into what's going on. And sometimes that in and of itself can be comforting for people. I'll direct you to some places if there's some place, something that I have that can help you or something that I'm aware of that can help you. I'll direct you to that so that you can find out where to go from there. Sometimes I'm just going to give you information. It depends upon what it is, okay? So that's kind of what we're going to do. That's the MO of what's happening tonight. Okay, I always try to move my video around so you can't see the junk in my office, but I'm not always successful at that. There we go. I don't know why. I think my kids played with that screen behind me. I'm messing with the video, but okay, we're just going to have to leave it. It's like a reflection of my printer or something that comes in the room. I don't like looking at that. Okay, so let's see. I think I've got everything. Hello, everyone. So I'll say hi in the chat just so that everyone, I don't know why my words ended up being red in this chat room. I didn't change it to chat, but into red, but anyway. Okay, so glad to have you all on here. Let me get started. First of all, I want to tell you, I call myself sort of the accidental healer, and it hasn't come to me lightly to even use the word healing because there is a preconceived idea about what that means. And I hear all kinds of people out there saying, oh, don't use the word healer because it doesn't come from us and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, all of that's true except for what I'm going to tell you is that every person that's here on the planet comes here with a role. So it's not really any big deal, I guess I want to say, what the role is. It's just that we all come here with a role and we're all performing a certain role. And at a certain point, I realized that I was helping facilitate to remove things that come out of you. I'm doing healing. And my background is that I came from the corporate world. I was transforming large companies, like big Fortune 100 companies. My degree's in business. I'm sold computers. I've managed quality for an international healthcare company. So I was going to be a doctor. I was going to be a nurse before that. I ever think that I was going to be sitting here with you right now. But I will tell you that as I go through and explain some of the things that I've learned, that I do believe that, you know, we all have a path that we go down, and the things that we may think are kind of insignificant sometimes are very significant. And I just realized, I wish I could remember what it was. It was just this week. I was thinking about something that I had done or come across or an insight I had or something that just seemed like a teeny tiny little minuscule thing and so insignificant, and I look at it and I'm like, wow, that was totally significant. So, you know, you may be sitting there right now, you know, frustrated with where you are, feeling like you should be doing something different, feeling like you want to do more of your purpose, but you're not. But the truth is that it may be that where you are right exactly right now is exactly where it is that you need to be in order to move into the next step. You know, even all this upheaval that's happening with people right now, all the financial upheaval, all the systems that are being dismantled on the planet, all of that actually has the opportunity to bring about a great deal of really good and positive change. And I know when you're sitting in the middle of it, it can sometimes be very difficult because it's kind of like it's a cycle, and you're going down, 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 and you don't really know where the bottom is. And so the thing that's most disconcerting about it is not knowing where the bottom is, because when it's a cycle, eventually you're going to go back up again. And what we all want to do is be up, and we all want to be on top. And it's not that any person here can't be that. You can be that. And I believe very strongly that if you're sitting here listening to me right now, that you're exactly in the place that you need to be, either to hear something that I may tell you that's going to have a positive effect on you, or maybe you're going to hear something and just say, okay, I totally don't believe in that. But there's a reason why you're sitting here. And we all go through these cycles where we go down and we go up, and the most difficult part is when you don't know where the bottom is, because then it just feels like all it can do is get worse. So I know some of you, I've looked at the questions. I know some of you that are on this call right now are in exactly that spot. I know some of you are on the way up and you just want to go higher. I know some of you are just searching for something because you feel like your life doesn't have the kind of meaning that you want to have to it. So people are in all different places on here, but you know, it's funny. I usually don't feel compelled to say all that, but for some reason I do. So there must be some of you on here on this call that need to hear that. You need to know that whatever it seems like the bottom is, to just kind of hang in there, because I also feel compelled to share this story with you. Now I'm going to cry. I had one of those days, kind of an emotional day. I don't know why. I'm not really kind of a very emotional person. But a couple years ago, about this time, my mom passed away, and she was only 66. And the year before that, not even a year prior, my grandma, who was more like my mom, and I was born on her birthday, also passed away. And I noticed something interesting, because I had some really difficult times in my life where things were just hard. And eventually some things that I'll share with everyone that kind of there's still things that are going on with that process. But I noticed this. Right after both of them died, they missed out finding out that their life would have changed for the better. And so what they felt like was the bottom of the cycle really was the end of the bottom, and they were starting to be on their way up. And both of them had to do with financial things, where their financial position would have changed dramatically for both of them. And I remembered looking at that and going, oh, they never got to live and see that, because they never understood that that was coming around the corner. Life just felt difficult or hard or like, okay, I'm kind of done now. And I really believe on some level that we get to, we get input into when it's time for us to go. And, you know, I've seen this working in the hospital. I used to work in the emergency room, and I would see some people who would come in that they should have died, and I would see some other people who came in and they should have lived and they died. And it always makes you think, huh, I wonder how that happens. So I would see people age literally 10 years and 6 months because their spouse died. So I really, at the age of 18, came to realize that things like aging are really a state of mind. So anyway, so that's kind of what I wanted to say. Maybe there's someone that needed to hear that. But the life, it really is a cycle. And it really is that you can only go so low before you start going back up again. So just know that, and just know that you don't really know where the bottom of that is, so you just kind of have to assume that you're at the end of it and not worry that there's a lot more to the bottom, okay? I'm going to write that down, because I kind of have to write down like whatever we talked about, and then Joseph puts that out there. Okay, so I hope that makes sense. Hey, San Diego, it is beautiful today. I'm in Orange County, so you're close to me, you in San Diego, and it was a beautiful day, and we are supposed to have weather up to 80 degrees this upcoming week, and I'm looking forward to it. Okay, that's the thing about Southern California. We have, like, the weirdest weather here. Okay, so I started to tell you a little bit about me. I'm what I call the accidental healer. I never really thought I'd be doing this work. It came as a shock to me. But what happened was it was time for me to leave my company as a consultant. I had gotten cancer after 2 years of being there, and that really didn't slow me down. I took, like, you know, 6 to 8 weeks off of work. I was still expected to listen to my messages and things like that, which I kind of refused because my surgery was on my throat. I'm like, hello, I don't want to read my messages. But I went right back to the grindstone after that period of time. And 4 years later, so now a total of 6 years at this company, I got pneumonia that wouldn't respond to three kinds of antibiotics. I couldn't travel for 3 months because, I don't know if you guys know, but planes are like a viral cesspool, and viruses can hang in the air for hours and hours and hours after a sick person is off the plane. So my doctor prohibited me from flying for 3 months, which is all I ever did. And in that time that I was home, I just said, you know what, I'm kind of sick of this life. This is my second major illness in 4 years. Obviously, I'm doing something wrong. It's time for me to go. And I just decided I was going to go to a job where I was working 4 days a week instead of 80 hours. I was going to do something, but I had no idea really what I was going to do, but I knew I was going to do something. I wanted to travel occasionally, but not 5 days a week. And I wanted to make at least as much as I was making before, which was six figures, and I had absolutely no idea what I was going to do. And then I ran across this article on coaching, and back then coaching was relatively new. This was in 1999. And I said, oh, I'm already doing that, because in changing companies, I was noticing what people were afraid of. I was coaching people through change. I was coaching the CEOs of companies and the CIOs and the board of directors and the leaders and the company and the employees, and that's what I was doing. And I'm like, wow, there's a profession out there that already does this. So I decided that I was going to leave and I was going to become a coach. And I became one of the first coaches back in the start of 2000. And when I did that, I found, first of all, that I knew way more than most of the coaches that were already out there, than most of the coaching training programs that were already out there, and I found it to be painfully slow. And when I stepped back and I asked myself, what is it that is unique about me as a coach? Because, you know, everyone always talks about you need to find your niche and all that kind of thing. And I think there really is some truth to that. But when I stepped back and I asked myself, what is it that's unique about me, what I realized is that what was unique about me is that I helped people change quickly and effortlessly. And the reason I was able to have the kind of results I did as a team of 10 people in one of the largest consulting companies in the world, one of the top four, only 10 people in our team, and I got results like nobody else because I got the people part of it. And I had already been doing that kind of work. So, and really what I did was help people change quickly and effortlessly. That's was my expertise. So I put helping people change quickly and effortlessly on my letterhead. Pretty soon I ran across this machine that helped to remove negative conditioning. So this was my first exposure to this idea that this stuff could get removed. And you had to hold it, and there was a lot of limitations to it, and hold it in your hands and all that. Well, after some time, I started saying, well, how do I know if this is working? How do I know how much I'm helping people? And I got, really intuitively, measure negativity. And I'm going to tell you about that in a minute. So I started actually doing quantitative measures on people back in 2003 to identify how much of stuff is in the way. And then what I found out is I was getting way different results than everybody else with this machine. And ultimately, I found out that I had difficulty raising my prices, and when I got underneath the covers of that, it wasn't about my value because I had regular coaching clients I was charging more. It was that I was helping people with that machine in a way that other people weren't, and literally doing things in like 5 minutes that were taking other people, and I already knew this now because I was measuring it. And as soon as I got rid of it ended up to be this idealistly, which is ironic because that's what I had all over on my letterhead. As soon as I got rid of that idea, literally that night in my journal, I received this recipe for what I call quantum thought shifting to remove all your past negativity. So let me tell you what that is and why that is so significant, because I have never run into anybody else on this planet who can do this. What happens is, what I found is that the average adult has 97.4% of all your thoughts are negative. What that means is, if you imagine a battery, there's a positive side. On the positive side are all the thoughts that help you effortlessly attract your life, living on purpose, living your best life, living the way that you want. Okay, the kind of the top of the top of the reason that we came to be here. On the negative side are all the opposing thoughts that get in your way and keep you from doing that. And that's what is collectively called negativity. So what I found was the average adult has 97.4% negativity. Almost all of our thoughts are negative. So it's like, no wonder it's so hard for us to use things like the law of attraction that they talk about in the movie The Secret and all those other things when we've got all these thoughts that are working against us. And then I continued to measure, and I found that all all but about is because of that, what happens is most of the time we're going around creating our life on autopilot. So let me explain a little bit about how the subconscious works from kind of my perspective of it. What happens is we learn things by association. So behind me is a screen full of pictures. So at some point in time, you might have learned that this is called a picture or a photo. Maybe it's a color photo. Maybe it's a postcard. Maybe it's all that kind of thing, okay? At some point in time, you may have learned that those things have certain names. And the screen is called a screen. It's a wooden screen. It's a photo screen, you know, different names, okay? And that all gets stored in your brain. And it gets stored together with something called a neural pathway. Once the neural pathway is there, if you imagine like a little chain, my hands always look way big whenever I do this on the video. It's funny. If you imagine like a chain, and then there's another chain that comes in, there's a thought, and there's an emotion, and there's other senses too, like smell and touch and hearing and all that kind of thing that get integrated in there. And then they get connected together with a chain that's a neural pathway, and that makes them automatic. So what happens is we automatically just know stuff. And, you know, this is great because when you're learning stuff when you're a kid, you don't want to have to relearn what a photo is and a window and a door and a screen and a brush and all these kind of things, food. You don't want to have to relearn all that. But by the same token, if the stuff that goes in is negative, you're also automatically bringing that up. So we automatically know what things are by association, but we also automatically have negative associations. So let's say that the first time that you encounter a door, you shut your finger in the door. So the door changes from being a neutral association, so your emotions are neutral, to now it's got a negative association because you shut your finger in the door, so now you're afraid of the door. So a lot of these fears that we have, these things, places where we're reluctant to do things, these hesitations, come from very early negativity. So I kind of noticed that, and the psychological research says that about 50%, and by the way, that negativity research is only stuff that I've done. And it was kind of a natural for me because when I changed companies, I was measuring like all kinds of stuff, financial stuff and customer satisfaction, employees. It was a natural for me to use measures to help people see kind of what I already intuitively know, okay? Although some of this stuff I didn't know, I was kind of like started measuring and going, wow, I had no idea that the bread box was that big on the negativity. So what happens is this stuff all gets stuffed in our subconscious, and now 96.4% or almost everything that we do every day is run out of these automatic negative habits that literally get in our way. So no matter how much we try to use the law of attraction to create things, you know, like in the movie The Secret or whatever, no matter how much we try to use positive affirmations and visualizations, there is a huge amount of stuff in there. It amounts to 3.5 million of those negative thought clusters, okay? If you worked on 100 of them every day, using affirmations and visualizations, it takes 2,136 years to get rid of all that. You won't. These are things that I've learned because once I started measuring the actual number of negative thoughts, I went, no wonder it's so difficult for us to make a dent. So what happens is we have this other thing in our subconscious called the reticular activating system. This is something that scientists have measured. Its job is to go out that you use some method to get rid of a negative thought, okay, or 200,000 more where that came from. Your subconscious says, oh, there's a space here. I need more of this. And it goes out and just automatically pulls a whole bunch more back in for you. So you are automatically, continually, consistently, and regularly pulling negativity into your subconscious, and you don't even know it's happening. So what I do, and I discovered I could do, much to my shock, thinking I was working with that machine, one time I forgot to turn it on and I found out that it was me. And I went, wow, if I can do this, what else can I do? By that time, I was already removing all the negativity with this process I call quantum thought shifting. It's literally a recipe that takes all that negativity, all the past stuff, and it does a whole bunch of other physical rebalancing and things like that, which has benefited people, and I can't say it helps with certain stuff because I live in the United States and there's the FDA, but I can tell you that clients have seen a benefit in things like ADD and bipolar and multiple sclerosis because I'm taking the physical body and actually also rebalancing that. I'm doing a whole bunch of stuff. Basically, what I've learned is I'm kind of like a spiritual jack of all trades. So if there's something out there that someone's doing, chances are, if it's worth including, it's already in the recipe, and I'm always updating it all the time. So right now I'm receiving, and I mean receiving literally divinely, version 39 of this recipe to do more stuff. So I keep always enhancing it and changing it and adding more stuff to it. So even the shift that I had a year ago isn't the same as the one that it is I do now. And that's what I call level 4, where I just literally record it all. Uh-oh, I just, let's see. I'm hoping, it looks like it just bopped me out of the broadcast. Okay. Let's see if I can record it again. Okay. That's weird. I didn't like what I had to say. It bopped me out of the recording. Okay, but it looks like the broadcast is still on. Okay. Hopefully we'll be able to bring back both of those recordings. All right. So what happened is I found out that I had this ability to remove it all, much to my shock, and I found out that that it was very transformational for people. And I started in 2004, in the beginning of 2005, doing these programs where I removed everything. And then I discovered that that was a lot of change for people. And so what's happened is in the last couple of years, yes, it's true that my job here is to be at the faster end of the change spectrum, but what I've discovered is that for some people that's still too fast. So now I've backed up and I have what I call level 1 through level 4. So level 1 is my introductory thing, and I do thought shifting where I'm removing a specific piece of negativity, and that is really to help prepare you for the change. And what's funny about that is I just kind of went backwards into doing level 1. I used to combine it with level 2, and I thought it wasn't going to be a permanent change, and it turns out that it is. So the universe had other ideas that I didn't know about. So I'm like, okay, fine, I'll do that. And then I have the level 2 change, which is where you can choose a particular thing that you would like to shift. And level 1 removes about 11% on average. So compare that to, I've actually measured people who were healers who have been doing clearing work for like decades, literally 30 or 40 years, and they've gotten rid of less than 1 or 2% of their negativity in that whole entire time. And part of the reason is because when we're only removing a little bit, the subconscious is working faster than we can. But when you remove a big chunk, now your conscious mind gets to be more in charge, because I found out that this stuff is actually coming directly out of your subconscious. So then you get to start being more conscious and being more in charge, which is the place that we're supposed to be in the first place. So in level 1, I teach you about that. I teach you about where we're supposed to be and, you know, how to be ready to change and what it really takes to change. And then I help prepare you to really be ready to change in a big way. In level 2, you pick something that you would like to change, and you work on that. Level 3 kind of prepares you for an even bigger change in a different way. Level 1 is more like, I guess I'm going to call it more caveman-like preparation, whereas level 3 is more of a higher level kind of shifting and preparation and specific things that need to be done, thought shifting. And, you know, it's been really fun and a blessing for me to work with people, and it's really like giving you a gift. Like, some people are going to take the gift and they're going to just totally, you know, Christmas is coming up if you're that, or the different holidays, whatever religion you are, if you're any. But the, you know, they'll take this gift and they'll rip open the package and they'll just, like, dig into it. Other people are just going to sit it on the table there for a while and peek a little bit and take on more and take on more. It doesn't really matter how you choose to do it, because it's still sitting there waiting for you. So I've had people that, you know, email me 6 months after I shifted them and they say, hey, did you do another shift? I'm like, nope, you just decided to open up more of the package. So it's kind of really, like, even though I'm helping facilitate this change for you, you still get to ultimately be in charge of the process, and I help you. And I'm always receiving more things all the time about how to help people more so that you can integrate it easier and more effectively. But it's really simple. Like, basically, I don't need to know the issue. It's all done remotely. I just tell you that I'm going to shift you. You drink more water. You get shifted. That's it. Most of everything else I do, and I have programs around all of this, is I am teaching you how to live in the space, because when all of a sudden your conscious thoughts become 10% more powerful, you need to learn how to use that. And so that's what I do. And it's funny, people will go, oh my gosh, you do this, you need to teach people. I'm like, yeah, that's most of what I do. And I do it all over time so that you have a chance to kind of settle into the shift and then learn what it means to be shifted and be in that space. And really, you know, someone was asking me last night, I went in for an appointment for my son to this holistic healer kind of person, and her assistant or receptionist was asking me about what I do. And it just came out, and I said, really, the essence of what I do is help you harness your own power. Because each of you who are sitting there right now, it's like my analogy is that you're a masterpiece. You came in this world this way, and what's happened is, little by little, someone's thrown paint on you. So, like, back a few years ago, they had this project in the Louvre to take all the paintings, the old, you know, classic old paintings, and to restore them by taking all the layers of paint off. Well, sometimes when they took all the layers of paint off, that painting didn't look anything like it did, because over the years people had done a touch-up and a touch-up and a touch-up, and that's what happens to us. We get all these layers of paint on us, and after a while it's like we don't even hardly resemble who we really are anymore. So what the thought shifting does is it really just removes all those layers so that your own masterpiece can be revealed, and then underneath, your own masterpiece is so powerful. And for a lot of people, it's scary. It's scary to be in your power. It really is. But, you know, I want to tell you, I got a lot of questions tonight about money. And I want to talk to you for a second about money, because at the essence and at the heart of lack of money is that you are not in your power. So money is really a lack of power. Okay, and I have this concept that I teach my clients in my level one program called Three Pillars of Power, and it's basically how we move through to really be in our power. Well, money is a culmination of us really being in our power. So what happens is if we have money, things, even if it ebbs and flows and it ebbs and flows and it ebbs and flows, what happens is it's impossible for us to stay in that place where we are truly in our power, and to keep the money flowing in that way, in our power, when we don't have the other pillars taken care of. And so I wanted to say that because there's so many questions on money. I'm not going to be able to get to all your questions. I'll kind of pick and choose, and I'll pick some and kind of give you an idea. But just know that if you're struggling with the money issue, you're struggling with an issue of being in your true power. At the heart of it, that's what's going on. And so the question for you every day is, how can I be in my power? And I know that you may not know the answer to that question, but by asking the question, it's going to help the universe to bring some of that information to you to help you understand how you can be more in your power. And certainly thought shifting is one way, depending on what it is, but there's more to it than that. There's more pieces, because we have really for centuries now been out of our power. And what's happening is we're starting to come back in. And yes, there are some people who make a lot of money, but you take a Donald Trump, for example. He still isn't fully in his power. He doesn't have negativity around creating it, so he just makes it back again. But he's still gone through all that stress and power. Plus the guy works, you know, night and day. His life isn't in balance. I mean, thinking of running for president, you know, kind of interesting. But that's an example of someone who we might think is, oh, yeah, they're really in their money power. Well, he still isn't fully in his money power. Now, there are people on the planet who have that, but they don't have the other pieces of it. Okay? So so I wanted to say that to you, because there are, it starts with a conscious choice that you want to be in your power. And asking that question so that the answers can come to you. Okay. So, given that, I'm always toggling back and forth between two computers. So I'm going to start answering some questions. So hopefully I've given you an idea. When I go through the questions, I may say, hey, this is something that can be handled in level two, so that means you'd have to take level one to get to level two. I may say that there's something else. I may just give you information, but I want to kind of give you a background on that, on what it is, what I'm doing, and really the reason why it's so difficult. If you're struggling with how difficult it is to change, one of the reasons why you're struggling is because of how much negativity you have, I guarantee you. And the only way to do something about that is to shift that. Okay, so I'm going to start, yes, with this question. And this is from someone named Manuela, and it looks like Manuela lives in Russia. And Manuela says, I've been sexually abused by my father from the age of 13 months until around 2 years and 8 months, and I'm stuck with a miserable false pattern that sabotages all of any efforts to relate purely to male human beings. Any attention from their side turns into a vicious sexual atmosphere for me, and I feel utterly unable to get out of this. It goes to the point that I cannot even relate like a four-year-old boy, for example, just because he is male. Is there anything that can be done about this? Okay, yeah, so first I want to explain a few things so that you kind of understand what's going on, Manuela, okay? It's funny, I felt compelled to do this, and for some reason, a lot of people with, like, sexual abuse and things like that are coming to me. So, you know, these things seem to go in cycles. But anyway, but it's still always disturbing to me at the same time. Okay. So I write myself a quick note just so that I know that whose questions I answered, because I forget. Okay. So let me tell you a couple things. First of all, as I explained, that you, by the time you're 1 year old, you have 25% already of your adult thoughts. So when you have a trauma and abuse situation that's going on very early like this, you are going to have a lot of associations, a lot of negativity around that particular issue, okay? In fact, it may even be that you came in with what I call soul debris from prior, that you came into this life with that energy that helped to kind of attract that circumstance immediately. I'm not sure. I'm just saying that that can even be. In fact, I think I am sure that's why I would say that. Okay, so you probably came in with some of that energy, and so then you began attracting it from when you came in by an agreement. Now, I want to make sure that you understand, even though it feels like you're a victim here, you're not a victim here, because on some level before you came, you made an agreement to allow this to occur. Okay, and I know that can be very difficult for those of you that are sitting there, but, you know, there's a certain powerlessness in feeling like you're a victim, and in that place, it's very difficult to move forward, and I talk a lot about that in level one, because if you're not willing to move out of the victim state, and it's okay to be in it and not recognize it, but if you're not willing to say, okay, I understand what's going on there, I'm willing to move out, then it's going to be very difficult for you to change. So I spend a lot of time helping you see whether you are in that state or not in level one so that you can move forward. Remember I said level one is like the foundation to really help you be able to change much more quickly. So what happens is you have all these early associations. Now the other thing that happens is a couple of different things with this negativity. First of all, we have these things in our brain called spindle cells. Spindle cells help us process emotion. When you're a child, you don't have very many of them. The older you get, the more you have. They grow as you grow, okay? So when you're an adult, the emotions that come up, because you don't have enough of these brain cells to literally process them, it's like putting too much electricity through a socket, you can handle as an adult. But the problem with this negativity is it gets stored with the emotions of how we feel when we're a child, when we're in that state. So when the negativity comes in very early, 13 months to, you know, under 3 years, those emotions are very overwhelming. And when you try to go back to that place, it's overwhelming emotionally. So this is the reason why, even though in your logical mind you understand that a four-year-old boy isn't going to hurt you, you have the emotions of literally a baby. And, you know, we'll see this because we see people reacting and we call them childish. We see them act like a child, literally. I'm sure many of you have observed that for yourself. We'll see people curl up in the fetal position. This gives us a clue as to when that negativity came in, okay? So just know that the earlier it came in, the more intense the emotions are because the less of these spindle cells you had to process the emotions. This is another reason why children have temper tantrums, and we should never get angry with our children for having temper tantrums because they truly can't help it. Now, we can help them through it, but to get angry with them only tells them that their feelings are not valid. They learn to stuff them, which creates a whole other set of problems with a lot of people I see coming to me with issues with prescription, painkiller. I mean, yeah, that's another issue too, but depression, anti-anxiety medicine, and things like that, covering up those emotions. So that's not healthy either. Then the other thing that happens is this negativity when I think I forgot to say this. By the time we're five, we have 61% of our adult thoughts, and again, this is all research I've done, and more than a third of them already, more than a million of those thought clusters are already negative. So we've got a huge amount of negativity that comes in very early. You don't remember most of what happened to you very early. So chances are you relating to this to me right now is somehow someone told you or somehow you came to learn about this abuse that happened early on, because most people don't remember things from that early. And I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm just saying most don't remember things from that early. So what happens is when we learn with these, like I explained, that chain, the thought chain and the emotion chain and hooking it together with the neural pathway and then those other senses, is there's a lot of other negativity around this that you can't necessarily articulate or put your finger on, because until we're about three, we don't really have language. So even when you're learning language, you don't learn it in a way where you really comprehend it until about three. So what that means is a lot of times you'll just have a feeling there, but you can't really put your finger on what's wrong, because the feeling's there, that part of the chain is there, the neural pathway's there, maybe some of the senses are there, but the thoughts are not well-formed, so you can't get them out. And this is one of the difficulty with trying to identify this negativity with traditional means that require you to identify it. You may never identify it because you can't get the words out. And what will happen is a lot of times when I'm answering these questions, I'll say, well, this is what happened, and all of a sudden you'll just resonate with that and know, and you'll be able to connect those words now with that feeling so that you can understand it. Okay, so that's what also happens. So there may be some other things around this, Manuela, that you don't even realize because those thoughts have not come to the forefront. They're a feeling that something's wrong, and a lot of people will relay this to me. There's something wrong, but I can't put my finger on it. Typically, that means that it's some type of negativity, and I hesitate to say the word trauma because we interpret things differently when we're a child. Sometimes things that may feel traumatic when we're a child are no big deal when we're an adult. I mean, I remember, this is a silly little thing, but I remember running up to some woman in a bowling alley when I was like three, hugging her leg, and she wore black pants, and I thought it was my mom, and I looked up, and it wasn't my mom. And that was like traumatic for me when I was three, but now you would go, what's the big deal, right? So things that happen in our child's mind are not the same as the emotions in an adult mind. So sometimes things that don't even seem like any big deal as an adult still have this traumatic feeling associated with it from when we're a kid, or a very heavy emotion. So I wanted to make you aware of that too, because I have a sense that there's maybe some other things like that around this, that there's these strong, heavy feelings that you can't put your finger on, but it's kind of still all related to this. And the other thing I'll tell you is when it comes to the thought shifting, I mean, I'm going to get into this with you, but it's not necessary for me to know all these things in order to help you. In fact, that's part of the beauty of it, is I never really need to get into it. I used to when I was working with people one by one, identifying issues one by one, but I don't anymore. And, you know, when I received the level four, the quantum thought shifting recipe, that all moved away. And that became such a gift for people, because sometimes you just don't want to relive this. Like, who wants to have to retell the story? Who wants to have to go into the emotion? Most people don't. And some people even avoid getting help because they just don't want to go back to that place. Because, again, you're literally feeling the emotions of what happened at that time. And it was overwhelming then, so you don't want to go there. The source of a lot of addictions comes from this type of thing, okay? And those of you who don't know, I did write a book about addictions also. I'm going to put that in here because for some reason there's somebody that's listening who needs to know that. But it's called The Seven Whys of Addiction. I'm trying to make sure that I send that out. But anyway, and I explain all about this too. Okay. All right. And I'm not sure, Manuela, if that's for you or not, but that's when it came up. Okay. So what's happening is you've got this negativity. The negativity did start very early. The negativity started before you came here. You came in with the energy, what I call soul debris, of being abused, and it manifested itself in this father who did abuse you. And now you've got all these associations around this particular issue. And yes, the thought shifting will help you. What I'm going to do is measure, let's see, your total negativity. And then I'm going to measure how much is in this issue, and that will give us a guide as to what would be most helpful. You're at 99.2% total negativity, so that's pretty high. Remember that the average is 97.4, so when you get an average that's so high, really, how much higher can you go anyway? But that still is pretty high, and so definitely you would benefit by being helped. And the negativity, well, everybody would benefit by being helped. Sometimes I dance around the issue, but my gosh, everyone would. Okay, but not everyone's ready. Okay, the negativity in this particular issue, is 59.2. So that's a lot. So what I would recommend for you is you go through the level one and level two process, but you may need to go all the way to level four, because the more negativity that you get, that you have around a particular issue, the more fingers and toes it gets into your life. So what happens is it's like a spider web, and it just keeps growing and growing, and it grows over here, and it grows over here, and it grows over here. So sometimes wiping the slate clean is what's needed to really be most helpful. But I always recommend to people that even if that's the case, that you can start at a level one and see how you feel. You can go on to a level two anytime. You don't have to do those in order. You can do it and take a break, and you can do the next one and take a break. So, but I think eventually you're going to need to go to level four with that much negativity. That's going to be my recommendation. And I'm redoing that page right now, but you can find, I think I finally am adding the level one information onto this page, and you can find it at pamreglin.com/level2, and I'll send that out in the email for you if you want to take a look at that. So yes, the thought shifting will help you. What the thought shifting does is it takes that negative chain, the negative emotion, the negative thought, the negative senses, the negative smells and hearing and touch and taste, all the senses around it, and it just literally pushes it out so that you don't have it there anymore. So you may still have a memory of something, but it doesn't have a charge around it anymore. And sometimes even the memories just kind of tuck themselves away so that they're, it's not that you couldn't find it if you wanted to, but it's just like not on the forefront anymore. Like it's almost like you forget that thing happened to you because it's just so much in the past and so difficult to find, if that makes sense. It doesn't need to be a part of your experience anymore. So, okay, so I hope that that helps you. Okay, I'm going to move on to, let's see, I'm going to find a good way to do this here. Okay, this question is from Vanessa. And Vanessa's from the Netherlands, and she asks, how do I get to the bullseye? Two things. I guess one, I'm going to limit a few answers to that question. It seems that I was just created to have the knowledge about how to get to the root cause. Even when I transformed companies, that's what I'm good at. I'm good at getting to the root cause and going, okay, I know you think you're fixing this problem over here, but the root cause is really over here. And there's actually a concept, a universal law called cause and effect. So a lot of you may have heard about the universal law of attraction. There's a lot of talk about that now. There's a universal law of abundance. Well, there's also another universal law called cause and effect. It's one of the main three universal laws. And it says, if you do something over here, there is a result over here. And for some reason, I've just always had this ability to know the cause, that if you do this thing over here, it's causing a result over here, and to ask questions about that and say, but why, but why, but why? Now, if you think back, most children have this ability because most children are asking, but why, but why, but why? They're trying to get to the root cause. And then we condition children to go, you know, we stop asking so many questions and all that kind of thing. We sort of condition them not to. Somehow no one was ever able to do that with me, and so I've just continued to ask why, even if it drives people crazy. The other piece of it is that it's very much an intuitive process. Like I kind of just know. So when I'm working with someone, and I didn't really need to get, well, I kind of did get to the root a little bit with Manuela of it being something that really was soul debris that she came in here with. So it didn't even really start in this lifetime. But you know, when you'll see me work with some other people and I'll say, okay, this happened when you were two or whatever. That's very much an intuitive process. And then I just know, like, I'll literally just see the circumstance of what happened or receive information about it. And a lot of times when I'm explaining it to you and telling you what I see or what I'm just getting a sense of, sometimes people won't resonate with that. And if I've got you on the phone or I've got you in the Ustream, the video, sometimes what will happen is, you know, people will ask me questions and then I'll give more clarification to that. And when I do that, it helps. What's happening is I'm interpreting it. So I'm receiving the energy is the way that I want to put it, and then I'm having to translate it into words. So sometimes the words I use maybe don't resonate, but then I have to find different words to use to help really better explain what it is that I'm getting. So anyway, I hope that makes sense. That's just kind of how I work. Okay, so no real other question about that. Some people ask me if this is a process that I can teach people. It is a process that eventually I will teach people, and I'm starting to right now begin teaching people to actually run my programs. The thought shifting part of it is literally, I think that's a little bit further behind, but it's literally like I can shift any number of people right now, but it's literally like a gift I'll be able to kind of download for people, so other people will be able to do it eventually. Okay, but I don't know when, I just know that that's the case. All right, let me see what else. Confusing myself because I have too many questions up here. Let's see, let me put that one down. Oh, here's another one. Okay. This is from someone named Annette, and Annette is from Canada. I keep an eye on the time here. Okay, so Annette says, when you have blocks and you have identified some or all of them, which order do you start to address them? Okay, first of all, I'm doubtful that you will have identified all of them, because with 3.5 million negative thought clusters out there on average, and I'll actually tell you how many you've got so that you have an idea. 3 million. Okay. You have 3.6 million negative thought clusters right now. So I'm doubtful that you've identified all of them, but it may seem like that. And this is why I kind of let people know this thing is like bigger than a bread box. What I would say is, if you've got some method that you're using that you want to identify them, kind of sort of like one by one like that, what I just kind of intuitively know, and what tends to happen is people tend to ask me the questions that are like the biggest thing, and when they come to me to work, they tend to just, their higher self like knows that it's the biggest thing, and when I shift you, it tends to shift the thing that is the most beneficial for you, okay? But when you're doing it kind of what I would call the manual way, you're going by one, is, you know, it depends on how you've identified them, but you can test it using muscle checking. You can kind of intuitively get an idea. You can look at what's having the biggest impact on your life in a negative way and just kind of start there. Whatever you do is to start with something, because it's better to do something than to do nothing. So anyway, I hope that helps. I don't work that same way, because what I'm doing is getting rid of the energy that goes along with this. I'm just kind of like getting right to the issue. And when you get to the actual bullseye of it, it's very small. So what used to happen is, when I would work with people, I was shifting less than 10%. They would come to me for these sessions, still using that machine I thought I was. And it would take literally 2 months to get rid of all that negativity. And now more of it goes away in 1 to 2 days. And what I found at the same time was, at the same time I was also doing the level 4 shifting, the quantum thought shifting in the groups, and it would take 6 weeks to get rid of all of it. So I'm like, how can it take 2 months to get rid of this smaller bit, relatively speaking, and even though it's still a lot, and 6 weeks to get rid of all of it? And I was given this diagram of the bullseye or the onion and shown that in the middle, the energy that it takes is very small. But if you're working around the outer layers, trying to do these things one by one by one, it takes a lot more effort, a lot more time, and it's a lot more difficult. So anyway, I hope that that helps give you some insight. Okay, let's see. Okay. Let's see. This is Zarina. And Zarina is from someplace in California. Okay. So Zarina says, my fear and doubt are the biggest obstacle to my recovery from a spinal cord injury. How do I get rid of that fear, doubt, and negativity? Okay. Okay, so now I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about frequency. So we all vibrate, it's called oscillating, at a particular frequency. So frequency is kind of like changing the dials on a radio station, okay? So if you imagine a top and you're spinning a top, like right now I have an 8-year-old son and there's this thing that's called Beyblades that's really popular. They pull the string and it's like this top that instead of having to spin it with your hand, you spin it with this like stick that you pull and they go really fast and they fight with each other and all that, as boys like to do. So there are these tops, and they spin really fast. Well, the faster that we vibrate, the higher we vibrate, the faster we spin. All of our cells in our body are spinning. They're oscillating or vibrating. The number gets higher. We feel more like we have a natural high. We feel lighter. We feel better. We have more power. We're more in touch with our intuition. A lot of benefits come from us vibrating at a high level. Okay, so you'll hear people talk about. And frequency is one of the things that I got to measure. I think it was about 2005 it came to me to start measuring that, and I didn't really even know what it was. And all of a sudden, I was getting these really big numbers. But what I discovered is that the average adult is vibrating at 454,000. That's an average frequency. But the frequency of fear is 0 to a million. So most people on this planet are right smack in the middle of the frequency of fear, and you can't get out of it. Your highest capacity is fear, because this negativity is physically stored in our body. So in order to have our top spin faster, to not have a drag on it, the negativity is literally like somebody taking this spinning top and holding their hand down on it and stopping it, or throwing a bunch of dirt on it, or throwing a bunch of weights on it. Or another analogy I'll use is if you imagine that we're like this hot air balloon and we're trying to fly, but we've got 3.5 million anchors on us. So it weighs us down. And when it weighs us down into the frequency of the fear, then we have these opposing forces on the planet, dark and light. Well, dark feeds on fear like food. So you just keep creating over and over and over this frequency of fear. So the most effective thing that I know how to do to get out of that fear is to really get your frequency out of it. When I shift you, even at level one, it pulls you out of that frequency of fear. You go to about between about 3 to 7 million in frequency, and that's a huge change from 454,000 where you're used to living, but not one that will be so unfamiliar to you, because what happens is when you come in as a child, your frequency comes in very high, and then as the negativity gets piled on, it creates like an inverse effect. So the more the negativity comes on, the lower and lower and lower your frequency goes. Until by the time you're 18, you've got 99% of all your lifetime thoughts. 97.8% of them are now negative in today's teenagers. And that little difference in the increase in negativity attributes to a lot of the reason why we are having all these school shootings and things like that, by the way, the negativity in the kids. It's higher. They're more heavily conditioned than we were. And so then what happens is, and your frequency gets lower and lower, and then pretty soon, you know, we don't even know. I mean, if you look at little kids when they come in the world, they're so happy, they're so bouncy, they're free. That's higher vibration. That's how they come in. And then the negativity gets piled on, and they get less and less happy, and less free, and less bouncy, and less energy. It all goes together. So what happens is we tend to get into what I call the downward spiral. And any of you that have ever seen my logo, it's a swirl, and it goes up and up and up, and there's a little arrow at the top. And what that signifies is that as we learn how to move into who we are and we capitalize on who we are, that we just expand and we grow, and it's unlimited. It's truly unlimited. The top is open, and it's unlimited. But what happens is we forget that. And we start focusing on fear, and then we go into what I call the downward spiral, which is also unlimited. And the more we go down, the more we focus on fear, the more we bring in that lower vibration, the more the dark energy feeds on that, the more it perpetuates the fear, and it becomes this perpetuating cycle of a downward spiral. And a lot of you are dealing with that. When you start getting into a situation where things are very, very difficult, that's exactly what happens. And those of you that have my money CD, what I do in there is I give you some of these exercises to help you get out of that. And it's something that you have to repeat on a regular basis, because as long as you've got the negativity, your physical body is burdened with all these anchors, and it's still pulling you down. So what I'm doing with all those exercises on the money CD, and I'll tell you how to get to that in a minute, what I'm doing with all these exercises on the money CD is I'm helping you temporarily pull out of that. But then your physical body is going to pull you down, and then I'm helping you temporarily pull out of that. Then your physical body pulls you down. When I shift you, then you permanently go out of that. So it's easier for you. Now, granted, at each level until you get to level 4, you've still got negativity, but at least your highest capacity isn't fear, and you can't get yourself out of that. So how do you get out of fear and doubt and negativity? The first thing is that you have to keep yourself out of that frequency. And there's two things to do that. So I'm going to give you, I don't know if money is an issue for you or not, but it never hurts. I don't have this separate, although I'm looking at putting it separate, but the exercises that I have on the money CD really help you with this, and you can get to that by going to 5, the numeral 5. Someone got smart and they took my FIVE, 5moneysecrets.com, okay? And that will take you to some free videos, and you can get the money CDs from there if you would like them, okay? And they have the exercises on there that I recommend that you repeat. The other thing is with the shifting. And it will pull you out of that frequency. So I would look at, it goes to level 2, but it's the level 1 shifting that you want to start at. So that's at the, start at level 1. And even level 1 will help pull you out of that frequency. And then if you still got negativity around that issue, it's still going to be there, but at least you're going to become more conscious of it, and you can start getting more control over that process. Now let's look at what else is going on with this, though, and why you may have created, and I know it's hard to imagine, but this injury in the first place, and this fear and doubt and negativity that's there for you. And of course, the negativity is the big catch-all, because there's so much of it. But let's see. That's something that happened when you were 3 years old. I don't know exactly when this energy this injury happened or anything about it, but I can tell you there's something that happened when you were 3 years old. It has to do with your mother, and it created some kind of doubt in yourself. She criticized you. I'm going to talk about that in just a second. She criticized you, but not in a way of trying to hurt you. She just didn't know any better, okay? She didn't know any better, okay. Now, remember, what happens is we're passing all this negativity on from generation to generation. So most of us are walking around having all these negative habits on negative autopilot. We don't even realize we're doing it. And, you know, I'll tell people who are in relationships, listen, if your spouse, your significant other says you do something, you probably do. And you don't even realize it, because so much of what we're doing is on autopilot. In fact, people will say to me, why is it always easier to recognize it in other people than in yourself? Because you're on autopilot. And you're seeing them for what they're doing. And if you just record yourself or watch yourself for, you know, a couple of hours every day, you'd be shocked at all the things you do that you have no idea you're even doing, okay? So I say that to say that I don't have a sense that your mom was trying to hurt you, but that she didn't know any better, and that she said something to you that it literally, I'm going to put it this way, it hurt to the bone, okay? Now, when we have emotions that build up, and they don't get expressed, and that fear is, and that pain, and that expressed. So the saying, expressing your emotions, means to get your emotions out. It's got to get expressed. It means to come out. Otherwise, it's going to blow. So if you imagine a volcano and these feelings and this hurt and this pain, and it all builds up, and it blows some way. And one of the ways that it blows is in injuries. So we'll see people getting illnesses. We'll see people getting injuries, because that has to come out. And my sense is that's what's happened with you. So the root of it is actually negativity. And then the fear and the doubt and everything has added on top of that. So I would really recommend that you look into some of the shifting, start at least at level 1. Let me see what negativity you have. You're at 98.3%. Okay, so again, a little bit above average, but, you know, when it's 97.4%, who's to say? And then this particular issue is 42.1%. So you could probably get along with going to level 2, but eventually, you know, you may want to do more. So that's what I would recommend. Again, it's pamreglin.com/level 2, okay? And pretty soon it's going to have a level 1 information in there because I'm working on getting that done. Okay, so I hope that helps you. So I've given you a few tools. You can look at the exercises on the money CD just because it helps you keep out of that frequency, and then look at the shifting for level 1 and level 2 also. The money CD you can do right away. I won't have any shifting programs going on until January. Okay. All right, so I hope that helps. You can even get an immediate download of that money thing if you want it. All right, let's see. Plus, it's got a side effect of helping you attract more money if that's what you need. Okay, here's another one. This is Jill, and I'm keeping an eye on the time here because I want to make sure we get to the other things for you, but doing pretty good buzzing through some of these questions tonight. Jill's from someplace in USA. I don't know. I asked for your postal code, but I never know where that is. Okay. Jill says, the biggest obstacle in my life I want to achieve is a successful business of my own and not spread myself so thin with several jobs. I want one successful company that can support my lifestyle. What is holding me back? Okay. Versus several jobs. Okay. So I saw a quote the other day, and it said, gosh, you know, I'm not so good at remembering things verbatim, but here's the gist of it. If you want to be in a different place, you either need to reduce what you want or increase your means, basically. So the bottom line is, I'll see a lot of people say, oh, I need to move to another state because it's cheaper. I'm like, just create it where you are. So what I like is that you said, I want a successful company that supports my lifestyle. Because what you recognize is that you don't need to change your lifestyle. You just need to figure out a way to create something at the level at which you would like to create it. So the first thing is, if you don't already have the money CD, I would recommend that. And again, that's at the numeral 5, moneysecrets.com. Now, I also have a book that goes along with that. That's a 30-day study guide, but I haven't actually put it out kind of by itself. But I'll be doing that, I think. Whoever did the title did a little spine backwards, and I didn't like it. But I would also recommend my Be a Money Magnet 30-Day Study Guide. It's a book. Because it's got some additional information in there that's not on the CDs, and it's a process that I systematically walk you through focusing on attracting more money. Okay? Okay, so it's a 30-Day Study, and that's a book. Well, it's a study guide, and I put it into the form of a book. Okay, so, and I'll send some information out on that. As long as you're getting these emails, you'll get information on that when I've got that ready to go. I want to do that before Christmas because it's a really cool gift for yourself or other people if you'd like to do that. Now let's talk about the negativity that's creating this circumstance, because also I felt compelled to share a story with you, which I often do, that you know, I mentioned earlier that I was at my consulting company for 6 years, but after 2 years I got cancer. I am very clear that I could have left after 2 years and started my own business and I would have been fine. I even had an idea for a business, and I did the logos, and I did all this stuff. And that the next 4 years were basically time that, I don't want to say I wasted, but I was there because of negativity, because my fear was my business would not be successful. Okay, so now here I am, having been in business for almost 11 years now, realizing that, hey, I do know how to run a successful business, that, you know, in fact, my business has dramatically increased in the recession. Not only do I know how to run a business, but I know how to create money. I know how to help other people do it. But back then, I didn't know that I knew that, okay? So it was really my negativity and my fear that kept me from starting my business. And I have a sense that there's something like that for you. And a lot of us do that. We want to move forward into something else, but we're afraid. You know, that one of the other measures that I do are how on purpose you are. A lot of people, the average on purpose is 10%. 10% of everything you do and all the actions you take are contributing to your purpose. The other 90% is not. Why? All that negativity. But it's really a tribute to us that it is 10%, because with all that negativity, it should only be about 3%. But we still keep trying stuff, and we still keep doing stuff. It doesn't always work because we have the negativity, but we still keep trying it anyway. That's a tribute to us, okay? But one of the most interesting things is the more I shift you, the more on purpose you get, the more lined up you get with what it is that you came here to do, okay? Sometimes we don't make money at a job because we're not supposed to. You know what? I'm a single mom with two kids. Honestly, if somebody else was supporting me, I wouldn't be sitting right here doing this work right now, because I many, many times would have much rather been playing with my kids, okay? What's happened for me is, and it's a huge blessing, their dad doesn't support me. He hasn't worked in 2 years. Even when he did work, the child support I got was minuscule. And the blessing is, I've had to figure it out. I've been single with these kids the whole entire time through kind of a series of events. I was split up with them before I even found I was pregnant with my daughter. Then I let them come back for 2 months. I was done again and found I was pregnant with my son. So I did it all myself. But, you know, it's a huge blessing because I got to figure it out. I'm like, hey, cool. If I can figure this out, I can figure anything out. Okay? Just like if I can remove all the negativity, what else can I do? When I realized it was me and not that machine. So sometimes when we get in these circumstances, it's a huge blessing. Because if it was easy for us, we might not do it. So sometimes the universe kind of uses these tools to say, because you know what, now, if I won the lotto tomorrow and I had millions of dollars, I would still do this work. Because I've been able to figure out a way to sufficiently balance my life and what's important to me. I work 2 days a week and I support us in 2 days a week with my kids. I still take, I don't know, it amounts to about a couple months of vacation off every year. Even with the 2 days a week, I have figured it out. And part of the reason why I'm here now and why I do these things and why I help you and why I do free calls and all that is because I want you to know I figured it out. I'm nothing special. You can figure it out too. I mean, yes, you may need a little bit of help. That's okay. But you can do it because I did it. You can do it. There's nothing special about me that's different than anything that you can do. We all have our different roles to play, but honestly, there, you know, as far as like figuring this out, you can do it, okay? Now, I mean, we all come in with different skills. I mean, my degree's in business, I transform companies, yes, but all those skills are learnable. It's all learnable, okay? So what's really holding you back is negativity, of course. Something happened when you were 4 years old. And this has to do with your dad. And what I'm seeing is that your dad, or I want to call it a dad figure, because I don't know if this is actually your dad or if it's a male figure that's around. It's a dad or a dad figure. Made money, some kind of money, not a huge amount of money, but made money but wasn't happy. Okay? So now let me explain how we learn. Okay? We either learn these associations and these things that we learn by things that people tell us directly, by things that we come up with ourselves, assessments we make as children, or things that we observe. The observation that you had of your dad was, hey, you know what, you're supposed to work and do something, but you can't really do what you really, really want to do because you can't really make any money on it, so you should do this thing over here. So it's you can't make money doing what you love. And if you look back, you've probably had that reinforced to you multiple times after that. So that's my sense of what I'm picking up, and that came in when you were four. And this is something that definitely we can do with the level one and two thought shifting, okay? So I would recommend taking a look at that. And that's, again, pamreglin.com/level2. Okay, I'm looking at the time. Let me do one more. Let's see, who am I going to pick? Okay. Oh, Jan. Okay. This is Jan, and Jan's also in USA. Okay. It said disappear quickly. I guess I removed the block for the income stream, but now how can I remove the problem for having it stay with me? Also, I want larger amounts to stream to me. I see a steady stream of smaller amounts, which is a huge improvement from before, but now I'm ready to receive large chunks of money. Thanks. Hey, cool. So good for you, because that means you're working the program. Let me explain to you how the money program works, okay? What I'm doing with the money CD is I'm actually putting you in the vibration or the frequency of money for the period of time that you're in that space. And then I'm teaching you kind of a little bit more about staying in that space with some of the exercises that I give you on that CD. Now, if you have negativity, so it looks like you have gotten rid of some blocks because you're attracting more money, but if you've got negativity around keeping the money or things like that, then it's still going to go out, which is what you're seeing. But let's say, so I'm going to put it in two ways. You're still not keeping as much as you like and not in the large chunks you'd like. Okay. So I'm going to tell you this. Remember, money is about staying in your power. And one of the best ways that you stay in your power is being in your heart. So I emphasize this on the CD, but I'm telling you straight out. Staying in your heart is one of the keys. Okay? Now, this is difficult for most people because we are not conditioned this way. But if you think of your heart as like a direct link into the source of power for the entire universe, you've got a direct link. Okay? What happens is most of us are conditioned to use our head, so therefore we don't go to that space. So we bypass our true power, and we're in what we think is power, but it's really not. It's like the illusion of power, but it's not really there. But when we go to our heart, we're really there. So what's so cool about that is that's like a shortcut, okay? I don't know if you have the book. If you don't have the home study guide, I would recommend it when I put it out, okay? That will help you further. I'm also going to tell you that there's some negativity here, obviously. And let's take a look at this and see what's going on here. So something 3 years old. Okay. So for some reason, at 3 years old, you learn to doubt yourself. I'm getting that it comes from mom. I'm seeing your mom. I don't want to call her like a victim. It's more like she's defeated, okay? So I don't know what was going on with her when you were three, but I'm just getting a sense of her being really overwhelmed. Defeated. Almost like I see her kind of like putting her head in her hands like it's enough already. Okay. And she had great self-doubt. And you just learned that. You kind of learned that this is your reality. You didn't learn another way to do it. So again, this is modeled behavior. Okay? It's not anything in particular that she said to you or not anything in particular that you said to yourself, but you just kind of learn to doubt yourself. Just like for me, you know, when I said I had cancer, one of the things that I had learned is to feel sorry for myself. I learned that from my mom. And I realized that when I had the cancer, and then I was like, oh my gosh, I'm feeling sorry for myself, okay? And when you have cancer, everybody wants to feel sorry for you, so it's really easy to feel sorry for yourself. And I had to learn how not to do that. And I didn't even realize until that moment that I had learned that from my mom and I had that pattern in my life. So I see this as model behavior. And again, this is negativity. So let's look at your negativity. Okay, so you're at 97.2%. I'd be curious to know what you were before you did the money CDs. Which really, they shouldn't create any kind of a lasting negativity effect, but they may whenever you work the program over time. But even that's like 0.2%, so a lot. Okay, this particular issue is 47.9%. Okay, so it's still a lot. You're going to get some benefit by doing the level 1 and level 2 shifting. You may need to look at level 4, okay? But I would start with that and see how you do with that. Someone else asked a question about, how do I attract the money for quantum thought shifting when I don't have the money? And you know what? That's the reason why I offer so many of the free things. What I'm going to tell you is I just told you the secret. Spiral. Those are ways that you can start to turn the tide so that you can start to put it on the upswing. But you know, I've had people who and everybody's ready at their own pace, but like they work their way through things. They do different stuff. I had someone on unemployment that paid for it. You know, and you can make it available to you. Because I've thought a lot about this. How do you turn the tide? Because to do it. So how do you turn the tide? And those are kind of the secrets. Those are what took me a while to figure out. So I'm telling you, so hopefully you can shortcut that. Okay, I want to go into what my pals have to say because they want to say something, and then I want to make sure I do the energetic exercise for you, the healing, because what they're going to give you tonight or what's going to be given to you tonight is they're going to do it this way, so it's kind of fun that we're going to do it. Okay, so and this goes along with what's there before. Okay, so this is what my pals are giving me is they're saying that there's one or more of you on this line right now who are feeling, and so I'm going to cry, very defeated, and this is a time of year that can be especially difficult for a lot of people, and what we would like you to understand is that you are here for a reason, and there is a special contribution that you have to give, and you need to keep in mind that you may not know what that is, but that special contribution is there, and that sometimes it's not revealed to you, because in order for it to be revealed to you, it would change the deal, and you would no longer be able to fully live out what it is that you came here to do. So sometimes there's a mystery around it, and to trust the process, and to learn how to focus on what it is that you would like, and allow the universe to provide the how for you. This is the true meaning of faith. And why so many of the world's religions talk about faith in one way or another. There is an element of faith that the wind will blow, that the trees will grow, that the water will flow. There is an element of faith around all of that, and faith applies to this too. And it's important to keep in that space so that you can keep your energy in the place where you're not defeating what the universe is trying to bring to you. Many of you right now are in one way or another defeating what the universe is trying to bring to you, and you don't need to do that. You can trust the process and let it unfold for you. And we do recognize that it can be difficult and that there may be tools that you need and that the forces of this planet are very much in the negative and very much in lack and very much in the dark side, but all those forces can be overcome. And in fact, that shift is occurring right now and you are a part of that. But in order for that shift to occur, you must be willing to step into that. And everyone is needed. Yeah, everyone is needed. Okay, cool. Okay, that's all they had to say. They just kind of stopped. All right, okay, so I hope that that helps someone who's listening. All right, I want everyone to close your eyes now. I'm going to do a couple of energetic things for you tonight. Okay, cool. So what I've done for you is a process where I've kind of put you in a protected space, and at the same time I've also put you into the energy of money. Now, just as I talked about before, you can kind of pull yourself out of that with the negativity, but I'm feeling like some of you just need to be in that space, so that's what I've done for you tonight. So I want to thank you for being here. I know my kiddos are going to be banging on the door in about 3 minutes. I'm sorry I couldn't get to every single question, but hopefully I've given you enough other information, too, that can be a benefit to you, even if I didn't answer your personal question. And I will start doing these calls more regularly so that I can try to get through more of the questions that are coming to me, but I recognize I'm at the point where that's probably not going to be possible, but I'll keep picking through and, you know, doing as much as I can and giving you as much information as I can. So I'm going to tell everyone to have a really happy holiday. I want to thank you for being here with me. I hope that you've gotten something out of this, and I appreciate being able to serve you in this way. And I hope that you'll go forth and from the heart, some of you who may be struggling, maybe look at life a little bit differently and recognize that there's a reason for you to be here and you're needed. So good night, everyone. Have a great holiday. Bye.
This has been Pam Raglan. I want to thank you for joining me on this innovative series of calls. I hope you've learned something new and valuable that you can take away and pass on to your friends and family. If you'd like to ask me about your own situation or just listen in to learn more about what gets in your way, you can go to my website at www.askpamraglan.com. That's www and then the word ask, A-S-K, and then my name, Pam Ragland, which is P-A-M and then R-A-G-L-A-N-D.com. If you'd like to pass it on to your friends and family members, if they have questions or situations that they need help with, or they might just benefit from listening in, feel free to do that as well. If you'd like more information on thought shifting, you can go directly to my Level 2 program website, which is at www.pamraglin.com/level2. That's pamraglin.com/level, L-E-V-E-L, and then the number 2. So please tell your loved ones, friends, and family members about the call, and thanks again for joining me, and have a wonderful day.